Well, greetings to you all this morning. I was not expecting this many people this morning. I thought we were going to be a little slimmer, but this is a blessing to have y'all out here. Let me rewire this. So I thought for the message this morning, I would take a break from, I've been teaching through the book of 1 Timothy, that letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, and I thought I'd take a little break from that and preach a topical sermon here this morning. Just take a look at a very basic but an extremely important ingredient that's necessary for the well-being of our spiritual lives, for our relationships, and especially for us as a congregation here. Without this ingredient in our lives, we're doomed for eternity, and there'll be no end to the struggles that we'll face in relationships in particular. We desperately need this in our lives, but the only way we can have it is if we give it away. In fact, how much we have of it is contingent on how much of it we give it away. I thought I'd just teach this morning. I've titled this, Forgiveness, the Path to Victory and Healing. Now, I had was planning, like I said, to preach on 1 Timothy, but as I started praying through this, I just felt like this was what God wanted me to share, a message on forgiveness. And so I got into it, and I was going through my sermon notes, and I saw another message that I preached on forgiveness. And I said, well, I don't remember preaching that. When did I preach that? And I looked on the date, and it was a year ago. So I thought, well, I hope y'all don't mind hearing another message on forgiveness. If I forgot what I preached, then maybe y'all forgot too, and it's helpful for us to hear it again, because I could not remember preaching that. But evidently, I'm too busy or getting too old, Dale. I'm not near as old as you, and if the mind can forget that quickly, but... But anyhow, so I'm going ahead and preach it again. And if it's the same thing I preached last time, you'll have to just hear it twice. And evidently, God wanted me to study into it and hear it twice. So, but it's a powerful thing. It's a beautiful thing that I think is very, very necessary for us in our Christian lives and in our relationships, this matter of forgiveness. It's the path to victory and to healing. Why does this need to be preached? I think all of us at some time or another will probably be wronged. Someone will offend us, do us wrong, cheat us. And probably there's many here who have been wronged. In fact, I know there's some here that have been wronged. Financially, wronged emotionally, have people that have misunderstood them. And if we do not have a lifestyle of forgiveness, then we will very soon have enough weight on us to sink us to the bottom of the ocean of despair and bitterness, and our lives will become sour and toxic, and we cannot have good relationships that way. Our marriages will fall apart, our homes will fall apart, if we don't have a lifestyle of forgiveness. So forgiveness is a necessary ingredient in every relationship, and if I'd ask the husbands and wives here, if y'all have ever had to forgive your spouses, I think you'd probably all raise your hand. You simply can't have that close of a relationship without having to forgive. Same with parents to children or children to parents. If we're going to have thriving, holy, godly relationships, we're going to have a lifestyle of forgiveness. We must have it to survive spiritually. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, and we'll just look at a few verses. And I realize this is a very basic teaching, but sometimes these things, again, we walk with God, and we think it's so basic that we ignore it, and we forget how important this actually is to our spiritual vitality. So these are familiar verses here in Luke chapter 17. We'll just do some reading from the scriptures about this matter of forgiveness. Reading in verse 1, "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come." So Jesus said the same thing I did. There probably will be offenses. "But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. So there's a clear command to forgive. Now, I realize that offense he's talking about there may be different than the trespass that the brother's committing. But he gives us a very clear command. If there's repentance there, if the brother turns to you and says, I repent, then forgive him, even if it's 7 times in a day. Now, Matthew chapter 18, he again talks about a brother trespassing against us. And, somebody wronging us, doing something to us that's not right. How do we handle this? Matthew chapter 18, "Moreover, if thy brother," in verse 15, "if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear thee, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Now we could go into this passage a little deeper and talk more about how dealing with offenses and trespasses, but I'm going to just focus on the forgiveness part here this morning. "Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee, until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. And forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentor till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Very sobering passages on topic of forgiveness. Forgiveness, the path to victory and healing. I feel like this is a very important topic because we live in a broken world where things are not right. There's sin everywhere. And if we cannot learn to forgive, we will not have victory. There will not be healing in our lives, and we'll live lives of defeat and bitterness. If we can learn to forgive, there's victory. There's life. There is power. There is joy ahead of us if we can learn to forgive those who do us wrong. So I'd like to talk a little bit about this thing of forgiveness. I'd like to talk about our need for forgiveness. Our need for forgiveness. And then take a look at what is forgiveness and how does God forgive? How do we practically go about forgiving? When we're faced with the reality, you know, it's easy to talk about this, but when you have to forgive, when you know you have been wronged, and how do we practically go about forgiving those who have wronged us? So, forgiveness, the path to victory and to healing. So Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our debts, right? Now, if we're going to pray that honestly, we're going to have to realize that we needed forgiveness. We were wrong. We have a need for forgiveness this morning. Amen? Maybe everybody else is perfect, but I need forgiveness this morning. I need the help and mercy of God, and I need His forgiveness. We all do. What does it say in Isaiah 53? All we have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And we need forgiveness for that. We have all gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. And that's against the way of God. And we need forgiveness for that. Go to Romans chapter 3. We need forgiveness this morning. As individuals, as a congregation, I think we need the forgiveness of God if we're going to be able to prosper in our spiritual lives. We have all gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. And in Romans chapter 3 there, he's quoting from Psalms, but he says in verse 9, he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And that includes all of us here this morning. You say, well, wait a minute. What about that rich young ruler? He kept the law perfectly since he was a child. I mean, that was a righteous young man if you ever saw one. He did many things right, this young man did, but he was not righteous. He was doing it his own way. All we have gone astray, every one of us turned to his own way. And there's many a religiously righteous person that is still pursuing God their own way. And this rich young ruler was. He was not righteous. Jesus saw that. He told him, go sell what you have. The core, the heart of the matter will be taken care of. We have all gone astray. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all turned everyone to his own way. We need God's forgiveness. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues have they used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things of the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. We need God's forgiveness. Amen? The whole world is guilty, and that includes you and I. We have broken the commandments of God. We have lied. We have used deceit. We have stolen. Even in our religion, we come to God on our terms and say, well, I'll serve you if I can do it this way. And if it looks good to me, others, and it helps me prosper my business, and if it's on my own terms, I'll come to you this way. We've gone about to establish our own righteousness, seeking our own way, and broken the commands of God in the process. We need God's forgiveness. We've eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and our shame cannot be hid. We know what we did was wrong, but we got to have more of it and take another bite out of that fruit because we just love it and we want our own way. We've broken God's law. All of us here, we've broken God's law. We can't go back and redo it. We can't put the fruit back on the tree. And Ezekiel tells us, it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. that's the verdict for all of us here. And I know it's easy for us to look around and say, you know, I'm not as bad as everybody else. I didn't do that. You know, I would never, you know. No, wait a minute. We've all chosen our own way. Come to God on our own terms. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is our verdict. And if we don't have forgiveness, we are lost, eternally doomed. We must have forgiveness. We need God's forgiveness. But what does it mean to forgive? We're going to look at how God forgives a little later on, and we'll see the perfect definition of forgiveness in God. But what does it mean to forgive? Well, forgiveness simply means, if you look in the Strong's Concordance, the different definitions there, there's different words that are translated forgiveness. So I'm just going to combine that into one definition here. The forgiveness means to lay aside, to release, to let go, to omit, to yield up, to absolve a grief, to freely grant as a favor. That's forgiveness, to let go. So we're thinking of wrongs that were done, wrongs that we did to God, wrongs that have been done to us. Forgiveness means to release, to let go, to yield up. See, forgiveness does not deny that there was an offense. Forgiveness identifies the offense and then lets go of it. It doesn't say, no, I wasn't wronged. Yeah, it doesn't deny that it was wrong. It identifies it and then lets go of it. It gives before the offender deserves it. It recognizes what is owed and cancels the debt. That's forgiveness. Forgiveness no longer considers the account owed a debt to be collected. You know, I owe John $50,000 and he chooses to forgive me the debt. That means John is saying he's no longer consider that a debt that I owe him. I don't need to pay that. And 15 years from now, he's not going to bring that up and say, John, that $50,000, you still... No, he forgave it. Forgiveness no longer considers the debt that was owed. It cancels it. Forgiveness does not hold the... We're talking about what is forgiveness here. Forgiveness does not hold the wrong against the person anymore. When dealing with the person or dealing with... it's that wrong is no longer used as a calculation as something that's reckoned against them. It's forgiven. Forgiveness is a commitment. And I think this is important for us to understand. Forgiveness is a commitment to not hold the offense against the offender. It's not a feeling. It's not justice. It's a commitment to not hold the offense against the offender. Forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. You don't feel like you've forgiven someone. You made the choice to do so if you actually forgave someone, if you were wronged. And I think we can understand this very easily with just the financial thing that I use. You know, we can do that with numbers. That's fairly easily, you know. And probably we've all had people that owed us money and you realize, you know what? I could go after this fella and you know, be unchristian about it and tell him to give me what he owes, or I can just forgive it. And we choose to forgive. And that, whatever it is that they owed us, you know, we forgave it. And so we don't bring that up again. We just forget about it. And in fact, if they come back to us 10 years down the road, we say, don't, just forget it. You know, I forgave you about that. Don't worry about owing me. We can understand that in a financial way fairly easy because there's numbers involved there. But sometimes when we're offended and our hearts have been hurt, our lives have been damaged, Our futures, what we thought was our plan for the futures, are destroyed and no longer possible. You know, at those points, it's a little bit harder to reckon up the numbers. And we have to say, forgiveness needs to still come into play there. And we have to release and let go and not bring that up against the person anymore. Forgiveness can never be forced. You can never force someone to forgive you, and you can never force. Yeah, you can't. Don't tell your child you've got to forgive them. You can't. You can't forgive children. Forgiveness can never be forced. It can be asked for. It can be appealed for, but never forced. If it's forced, it's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is a voluntary act of the will on the part of the one that was offended. Are you following me here a little bit? We're just looking at what is forgiveness. Because I think we can get into this thing that it's a feeling, it's emotions. It's, no, wait a minute. It's a voluntary act of the will. I know this is while much was owed to me. This was wrong what this person did. It was very wrong. But I look at that, I calculate it up, I make the voluntary choice that I'm going to forgive it and consider it gone, release it, no longer bring it up. It's in the past. Well, forgiveness, with that kind of mindset, forgiveness enables the victim to become the victor. Do you see that? Who's in control when you make a voluntary act of the will to forgive? Who's in control? The one who was supposedly was the victim. When you refuse to forgive, who's in control? The offender's still in control. So forgiveness enables the victim to become a victor. And if I can say this carefully, I think that's why so many people struggle in their spiritual lives. Because they say, if that person simply would not have done that to me, if it wasn't for them, I could, if, you know, then I could prosper. If it wouldn't, no, wait a minute. They're still controlling your life. If you can forgive, then you will be the victor. Look at Joseph. And I brought this up in my last message. I didn't realize my mind was going the same way, I guess. But I used the same thing last year when I preached on this. But Genesis chapter 50, the story of Joseph reconciling with his brothers there after his father died. And the brothers were afraid there. Listen to how Joseph, he's an example of how forgiveness works. His brothers had wronged him. I don't think there's any doubt in our minds that his brothers wronged him. They were envious. What they did was terrible. Lying and kidnapping and making money off their brother. And it was very wrong. And it affected Joseph's life tremendously. I mean, he was no longer this nice shepherd boy with his daddy at home. He had to be in a foreign country. And his whole future was shaped by this terrible tragedy that happened to him. But listen to Joseph and how he forgave. In verse 15 of chapter 50, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite all the evil which we did unto him. And it would have been just, right? It would have been just for him to requite him all, not more than what they did to him. But here he was a ruler, he had the power to do so, and Joseph could have said, all right, my daddy's dead, we need to make this right. These brothers need to shape up and live up to what they did to me, and we need to get this dealt with. And they were afraid that's what he was going to do. And so they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. What is forgiveness? This is an example of forgiveness. Do you realize how devastated Joseph's life could have been? How different it was because of how wrong his brothers treated him. It was nothing at all the way he had dreamed about as a 17-year-old, a 15-year-old. But he looked at it and he saw that God's hand was in it. He could see God's hand and he accepted it. Joseph yielded up what he could have justly demanded. He yielded up. He let go of that. He released the debt his brothers owed. He gave before it was deserved and comforted and spake kindly unto them. Do you see that? I mean, here's this man that could have demanded their lives or at least their slavery, but he nourished them. He spoke kindly to them. He comforted them. He took care of their little ones, the ones who did him wrong. That's forgiveness. It didn't matter what was done to him in the past. It was gone. He was not going to hold that in account against them. These were his brothers, and he was going to treat them as such. We have not truly forgiven if we still demand that the person owes us something. Forgiveness lets go. It releases. Unforgiveness keeps record of the wrong and demands retribution. And I don't know if we have that in our society. That happened here last week again and with the president, I guess. Somebody offended him and he said, I'm suing you $1 billion. And, you know, if I don't sue you, then, you know, somebody else might do it again. Unforgiveness keeps record of the wrong and demands retribution. It's got to be made right. It will not release. It will not let go. Even if justice is meted out sometimes, it will not let go. That was done me wrong, and I know they paid back what they could, but it affected me, and I will not forgive. Its attitude is, pay me that thou owest. You owe me an apology. You've got to pay this back. You did me wrong, and I hold you responsible. I will not release you until you make it right. That's unforgiveness. Forgiveness does not do away with justice. Let me make that clear. Forgiveness does not do away with justice. That would simply be tolerance. It acknowledges the wrong that was done as being wrong, but then it chooses to release, to let go. So that's forgiveness. We're trying to define what is forgiveness. Now let's look at how God forgives. And consider did I define forgiveness right? And let's see how God defines it. How does God forgive? Go to Isaiah 43. There's lots of verses we could pull out for this. And it's one thing to be forgiven of man. It's another thing to be forgiven of God, who is perfectly holy, perfectly just, who never does anyone wrong. But in Isaiah 43 and verse 25, he says this, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Now, God is not forgetful. He doesn't forget, but he chooses not to remember. And that's what forgiveness is. We can never forget the wrongs that were done to us. You know, there's that talk, you know, forgiveness is forgetful. That's not true. You can never forget what was done to you. Hardly ever. But you can choose to not allow that memory to affect your decisions or your relationships with that person that did you wrong. And God, this is how God does to us. I will blot out thy transgressions. $10,000. Wipe it off. Don't owe it anymore. Blot it out and will not remember thy sins. Jeremiah 31 And this is beautiful. For those of us that realize that we have wronged God and that we need forgiveness, these are beautiful verses. God forgives us. All those sins that you committed before you were converted and your heart was not right with God, there is forgiveness for that. He blots it out. He gives us a new start. It's beautiful for us. Gives us hope to be able to move forward. Jeremiah 31 and verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, saying, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Isn't that beautiful? The devil loves to bring up our old sins in the past, doesn't he? And bring them to our face and say, see, you'll never measure. Look at who you were. God says, it's gone. Wiped off, I will remember them no more. I won't bring them up there. They will not have an effect on my relationship with you. Isn't that beautiful? This is how God forgives. Of course, you're familiar with that, the verse in Psalms 103, verse 12, where it says, verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. God is not ignorant of what we've done. He knows it, but he chooses to forgive. And he says, you know what? This is not going to have any bearing on my relationship with you anymore. It's forgiven. I won't remember it. I won't bring it up. It's removed as far as the east is from the west. It doesn't even calculate in my relationship with you anymore. It's forgiven. Now, we just read those verses in Matthew about how God said he brought back to mind that sin of that man who he had forgiven and he chose not to forgive. And he said, you know, brought him and demanded justice because he refused to forgive someone else. God also says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So how do we reconcile forgiveness with the justice of God? Well, there is no one more right than God. There is no one that is more holy and just than God. God is God, and he would no longer be just and right if he would tolerate sin. That would go against his very character. So how can he forgive? No one here has ever been wronged as much as God has. Now, God is not offended like we're offended as human beings. But sin is an attack on his very nature and on his holiness and on his creation. Sin is an attack on that. And God cannot allow one sin to go unpunished, else he would be unjust. There must be justice meted out. So how can God forgive and still be just? If he allowed sin to go unpunished in the world, the world will descend into chaos and he would no longer be God. And so he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. If a man can pay, he ought to pay, God said in the old covenant law. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Knock mine out, I'll knock yours out, but no more than what you did to me. But I'll, you know, but I'll at least, it just needs to be fair. This needs to be just. You took the $20,000 and squandered it, you paid it back. That's justice. What does it say in Ephesians there? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. As God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How can God forgive? God can forgive because of the atoning work of Christ on the cross and still be just. God can be both just and forgiving for Christ's sake. See, when the worst sinner when the most down and out sinner, the one who is so caught up and bound in his sin that he can't get free, when he comes to God in repentance and says, God, I'm sorry. God, I offended you. God, I did wrong. I repent. I turn about that. I was not thinking right when I was doing, and I want to begin to think right. And when he turns to God in repentance, in true, genuine repentance, to please God's forgiveness, God forgives because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And he's both just and he's both forgiving. It doesn't hurt his character. The penalty for sin is death. Jesus took that on himself. Sin is not tolerated when God forgives. He doesn't say, oh, it's okay. Yeah, I know you did wrong, and I know you're still doing wrong, but you can just go ahead and, you know, I forgive you. You'll be okay in judgment. Sin is not tolerated when God forgives. It is washed away. It's blotted out. It's gone. It's forgiven. It's no longer there. It's just not even on the charts anymore to be reckoned with. It's blotted out. That's how God forgives. That's your sins. That's my sins. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? All of our old life, that old man can be forgiven. And it's a whole new life we can have. It doesn't even come on the charts in God's reckoning with us as his people. Now, I'm not saying here, we know there's all this false teaching out there that, you know, we can just continue on in sin and live in that, and God will forgive me on judgment. No, that's not what God is saying. That's not justice. That's not forgiveness. It's when we come to God in repentance and we acknowledge that we are wrong. We did wrong. And we come to God in repentance and say, God, I did wrong. I don't know what to do. There's no way I can pay this back. I can live my whole life in trying to redo, and I can't. It's just not possible. And God says, I forgive. It's okay. I'll wipe it off, blot it out through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how God forgives. Isn't that beautiful? Now, just a little word here about forgiveness and repentance. We've been talking about this already. See, forgiveness can be given by the offended. The offended can have a forgiving heart. Maybe that's a better way to put it. But it cannot be received by the offender unless he's repentant. See, God longs to extend his forgiveness to all mankind this morning. He longs to extend it to all mankind, to give them all a new start. But if you refuse this morning to repent, you are unable to receive God's forgiveness. So forgiveness may be available for a person, but if there's no repentance, the offender cannot receive the forgiveness. And we saw that in Luke 17 there. If a brother come and say, I repent, forgive him. Well, if he hasn't repented, you can have a forgiving heart, but he himself can't receive the forgiveness. See, a heart that is truly repentant will make restitution where he can. Give me patience and I'll pay everything I can. I'll do my best. God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do what I can to pay it. And that's the kind of heart of a repentant person. And when God sees that, he can forgive. A truly repentant heart makes restitution where he can. You can have a forgiving heart even if the man does not repent. If someone has wronged you, you can still have a forgiving heart and your heart can be free. But for the person that offended, I'm just thinking back to this fellow that stole all these tools from my dad here a couple years ago. You know, I don't know if the man ever repented or not. You know, Dad forgave him thousands of dollars and went and did good to him and his family, tried to minister there to him in some way. And so Dad's heart was free and forgiving. And that's possible. But for that young man to receive the forgiveness and to have a difference in his life. He could not do it unless he repented and acknowledged his wrong. If he continued on taking, you know, while there is forgiveness being extended, it won't do him any good because his heart's not repentant. So what if you choose not to forgive? So we're talking about forgiveness, and what if you choose not to forgive? Let's just talk about that for a bit. You've been hurt. Your ministers have said something that offended you. You can't believe that your wife did that to you. And your dad's authoritarian and simply loved his reputation and beat you up when you were a kid. And your mom yelled at you because you could never do anything right. And your child went directly against your counsel and has ruined your family. You know, whatever the case is and whatever was done, it was wrong and it was costly for you. And in some cases, the effects of that wrong that was done can never be erased. The effects will always be there. You can choose not to forgive. But what happens if you choose not to forgive? Let's talk about that a bit. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. What if you choose not to forgive? So just think about the wrongs that have been done to you, the injustice, the things that have been told about you, the things that have been done to you, and they're not right. You can choose not to forgive. But what will happen? Let's talk about that. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says in verse 15 or verse 14, Let's start in verse 12, actually. Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. What will happen if you choose not to forgive? There will be a root of bitterness that will begin to spring up that will both trouble you and those around you. It will bring defilement. If you choose not to forgive, that choice to not forgive will cause you to resent the offender. You see how that works? He did me wrong, and I will not, until he pays me up, I will not forgive him. If you choose not to forgive, you will begin to have resentment towards the offender. That resentment will turn into bitterness. It will always be their fault that my life turned out the way it did. If he would have paid me up, using money, for example, you know, we can know that financially again. If he would have paid me what he owed, when he owed me that $50,000, I could have bought it and I would be better off financially. We're always having that resentment and bitterness towards them. If it wasn't for what they did, you wouldn't have so many problems today. And what will begin to happen is you're going to carry this thing on your shoulders the rest of your life if you choose not to forgive. That resentment, that bitterness, and there's people walking around like that all around us, and they carry that thing, and it's that load gets so heavy, they can't even pick up their eyes and see the goodness of the Lord around them. They can't even see that they are so caught up, resentment and bitterness towards those people that have done me wrong, and I am not going to have anything to do with them, and I will, and their life is consumed and controlled by those that have offended them. You can choose not to forgive, but a root of bitterness will spring up and begin to trouble you. The other thing is even more sobering, and we read that in Matthew. You can choose not to forgive, but neither will you be forgiven by God. And that's even more sobering, I think. We want to and need God's forgiveness. Amen? We desperately need God's forgiveness. But if you choose not to forgive, Jesus made it very clear, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. It's just not possible, because the debt that we owe is impossible to pay. To not forgive will separate you from God. Perhaps you say, I can't forgive. It's not right for me to forgive. I can't just blot that out. If I do that, it will encourage him to do more actions like that. It will only encourage that to happen even more. It will fudge the lines between right and wrong. Well, forgiveness never condones sin. And I hope I'm making that clear here. Forgiveness never condones sin. Forgiveness will always clearly recognize the wrong and know that it was wrong. It was not right what was done. So when you forgive, you're not condoning sin. You are actually strengthening the knowledge of sin because it was wrong and you know it was wrong. Forgiveness actually allows us to clearly recognize what is right and wrong and then gives us a way to move forward. Amen? It gives us a way to move forward. See, you can say all day long, this is wrong. He did me wrong and I don't know what to do. It's going to affect the rest of my life. And well, forgiveness says, yeah, that was wrong. But here's how we can go forward now. Forgiveness brings healing. Both receiving forgiveness and extending forgiveness brings healings and puts us back on the path of victorious living. When you truly forgive someone, you can no longer say, well, it's because of them that I am the way that I am. If it wouldn't have been for that, and I realize we're affected by people, we're affected by our circumstances and upbringing, but when you forgive, you're no longer controlled by them. You're a free man, and you can go on to victorious Christian living. So how do we forgive? How practically do we forgive? And I just wrote down a couple steps to forgiveness. And hopefully this can be a help. You know, maybe you're saying, well, I'd like to forgive, but how? Like, how do I can't, every time I get up in the morning, I think about how bad this is and it's affecting my whole life. And I don't know, how do I forgive? I can't forget about it. Well, how do I forgive? Number one, and I've already gone across some of these, the first step to forgiving, I think, is acknowledge the wrong. Acknowledge that you were wrong. Don't act like it didn't happen. Don't try to ignore it and name it something else. Don't say it wasn't so bad. Yeah, it wasn't so bad. You know, no, acknowledge that it was wrong. So I think that's the first step. It was wrong what they did to me. And the second thing is to choose to voluntarily forgive. In your heart, choose to voluntarily forgive, to let go. I know it was wrong what he did to me. It was wrong. I acknowledge that. But I'm going to make the choice voluntarily to let that go. I'm not going to bring that up again. It's not going to affect my relationship with him. This thing is forgiven. Choose to voluntarily let go, to release the debt that was owed. And again, I'll go back to the finances. I think we can make sense out of that financially. But picture this also, other wrongs that were done. But financially, if you would go to him and somebody owed you that much money and you would choose to voluntarily forgive him, you would tell him, you would acknowledge, it, you owe me this much. It's on the books. You can see it. But I'm going to write that off as forgiven. So from now on, with any of our business dealings, this will no longer have any effect with you, between me and you. It's forgiven. I'm not going to bring this up again. You can go ahead and come do some business with me or whatever needs to be done. But that debt will no longer affect my relationship with you. It's forgiven. We can see that with finances, but take that into other areas of life as well. Number three, the third step there is commit to removing the guilt from the offender. Commit to removing the guilt from the offender as far as the wrong against you is concerned. Now, the offender may still need to face the consequences of sin, but not from you. You've forgiven. In your heart, her sin against you is forgiven. And you're going to commit in your heart to helping remove that guilt from that offender. Don't bring up the person's sin to them. I'm just talking practically here. So somebody has wronged you. Don't bring up, and you're choosing to forgive. Don't bring up the person's sin to them again. Neither to them, nor to others, or to yourself. Don't, and you say, that's not possible. I'm always reminded of it. Well, when it comes back up again, go back to that statement that you just made, that commitment you made to forgive. And so you scribbled on that paper, forgiven. And remind yourself, no, yeah, it was wrong what he did, but I've forgiven. It's not going to affect my relationship anymore. What has been owed has been canceled and cannot be brought up again. So commit to removing the guilt from the offender as far as the wrong against you is concerned. There are consequences that they and you may have to live with the rest of your life. Number four is show your forgiveness by your behavior. And Joseph was such a good example of that. Show your forgiveness by your behavior. He nourished them. He spake kindly to them. Show it. Find ways to show that you've genuinely forgiven. And then number five is ask God to allow you to forget and relate again without this offense hindering your relationship. God can heal. He can bring things back together. Some of the most devastating things have happened in relationships. And with forgiveness, the offended can become a victor and relationships can be restored into a beautiful, holy way. But ask God to allow you to forget. And you may have to ask him over and over again because sometimes these things pop back into our minds at the most inconvenient time and we want to grab a hold of that and say, he still owes me that. Wait. No, I've forgiven. It does not going to affect my relationship anymore. I hope this can be helpful to some of you, to all of us here, because I realize some of us here, some of you are walking through some difficult times, difficult relationship things. And some of the church things some of y'all are coming from where you're facing excommunication and rejection. And this thing can damage your life or it can be an opportunity to live the example of Christ and forgive and restore and build. And you can move forward without that thing destroying your life. You will find that forgiving opens up the door for you to continue to be forgiven and takes you from being a victim to being a victor. No longer will their sin against you control you. You'll be free. You will be the victor, the conqueror, because you have chosen to forgive. We all need God's forgiveness. We all must extend forgiveness to each other if we want God's forgiveness. And I realize that forgiveness isn't easy. But living with unforgiveness is even worse. Unforgiveness will only further the hurt and spread the bitterness in your life and in others. But when we choose to forgive, it restores. It gives a new start. It puts you back on top of the situation. You're no longer a victim. You're now a victor. You're a conqueror. You're above the situation. And you can go forward with faith, with a new start, and find healing and victory in your life. But the choice is yours. And you and I face that choice often in our lives, maybe daily even for some of us. Let's pray. Father, as we consider your kindness towards us and the forgiveness you've had to us, Lord, have mercy on us, for we have ever even considered not releasing someone's debt they owe to us, Lord. I ask, God, would you take these few words and minister to them to each of our hearts and enable us all to somehow become victors instead of victims. To genuinely forgive and to be able to walk as a conqueror, having made the choice to relate to people, to others, the way that you related to us. And so that we today can walk on in healing with healed hearts and healed past, with walking in victory over sin and in godliness because of the work that you've done in our hearts through this act of forgiveness. So give us this, Lord. Help us to walk this out in our families and our marriages and relationships to children among us here as a brotherhood in the community, that this would be a real reality among us. Help us, Father, in these things.